is the, yep. I guess it's a finance and audit committee meeting, so I'll turn it over and do it the appropriate way. But it is a, we possibly are going to go into a closed session after you go over the other things. Is that right?
That's correct, Graham. We actually noticed a separate special board meeting with the single item of a closed session.
Sure. So I'll get out of the way.
I talked to Joel earlier today and he said he would see me here, but I don't see him on yet. Joel?
But he's aware we've talked about these things. So Ted, why don't you go ahead and get started?
Okay.
And I'll text him and let him know that we'll get started.
That sounds good, Sue. Well, I'm going to very quickly introduce the two topics, finance-related topics here, the refunding of our 2012 water revenue bonds and sort of a preview, a preliminary discussion of 2022 water rates. Amy Kaler is going to cover both of those topics for us. And so, Amy, I think I'll just turn it to you to begin.
All right. Sounds good. Let me share my screen. I don't know who's hosting, but if you, there we go. All right. We're going to start by talking about the bonds. And you might recall, this is something we talked about last month at Finance and Audit. And the primary message was we're looking at refunding to save interest costs. Since then, and I mentioned this at the meeting, there were some active discussions by some of the participants to the bonds that we hold. And some were actually interested in paying those bonds off. And so at the time I said things are a little in flux, but we'll keep you updated. And so today the intent is to update you on those discussions. I lifted this slide out of last month's presentation just to remind you and again, try to provide a framework. I don't expect anyone to live and breathe this and remember it daily. So I wanted to provide an overview of our debt. We have three outstanding debt issuances. The good news is they're all very close to maturing within a matter of just several years. The first one listed here is an SRF loan that we took on in 2003, and that was actually to construct a feeder main to serve Polk City. And so that matures next year, next December, 2022 will be the last payment that we make for that SRF loan. So we're almost out from under that. We also have two revenue bond issuances. One is the 2012 A bonds. And the balance at the end of last year was just a little over $1 million. And this is also very close to being paid off. It will be paid off in 2023. So we're getting very close to that. Both of those are entirely the responsibility of Des Moines Water Works and our own customers. The third bond issuance is the 2012 B bonds. And these are the ones that we talk the most about because it has, as you can see here on the slide, the most significant balance at the end of last year. It was about $2.35 million. It's a little bit longer in maturity, 2025, and it has the highest interest rate at 3%. These are also the bonds that we issued when we constructed Sailorville, and participants wanted to purchase capacity at the time in our core network. And so we have some participants to this bond issuance. They are not all held or the responsibility of Des Moines Water Works. Des Moines Water Works is responsible for just over $4 million. Ankeny, Bondurant, Urbandale, and West Des Moines Water Works also all have a portion. And aggregate, those are almost double what Des Moines customers are responsible for. So the 2012 Bs are the ones that we were talking about refunding. When we spoke last week, the interest savings was going to be over $300,000 just due to more favorable rates. Since then, we have had some discussions with the participants. And just as a reminder, when I say refund, I mean refinance, just like any of us would refinance our own mortgage, for example. And when we talk about redeeming bonds or redemption, that means paying them off. So I don't want anyone to get caught up in lingo here. West Des Moines Waterworks, Ankeny, and Bondurant have all confirmed to us that they wish to pay off their portion of the 2012B bonds. Some of those were in flux last month, but they have all confirmed they wish to do that. Urbandale Water Utility is actually discussing as we speak. They have a board meeting right now. And so they haven't totally committed, but Dale shared with me that he is leaning towards them also wanting to redeem or pay off those bonds. So that would look likely that they also wish to pay off. So if all of the participants other than Des Moines Water Works wish to redeem, in my view, there's really no reason to go through the cost of refunding and refinancing. It really just seems to make sense for us to also pay off our portion of the bonds and redeem those. And it's kind of exciting, the thought of getting out from under those several years early. Last month when we talked, related to that 2012A issuance, the smaller bond that we are wholly responsible for, you know, it has a shorter maturity life and the interest rate is more favorable. And so Spear, in talking to staff, said, you know, if you're thinking of refunding, I wouldn't worry about refunding the 2012As. Really wouldn't be cost effective to do so. But now that we're talking about redemption or paying off in full, it would seem to make sense to redeem the 2012As as well. So let's talk about the financial impact of doing so. I'll start with the 2012Bs because those are most significant. Our payoff amount, net of any amount that we're holding in reserve to go towards the last payment. So the new cash, if you will, that we would have to come up with to pay off the 2012Bs is $2.6 million. That's just our portion of it for Des Moines Water Works. The other participants would be responsible, of course, for coming up in cash with the amounts that they would still owe. For the 2012A, our net payoff amount is very small, $139,500, almost rounding there. And so we have the cash available for this opportunity. It would be excess revenues that we've collected in prior years, you know, that we're holding for an occasion just as this. So we do have the cash available to make those payments and to redeem those bonds in full. I have no concerns about that. What would we be saving? This is really exciting. For the 2012Bs, the interest savings across all the participants, so this would include Urbandale, West Des Moines, Ankeny, we would save $876,000 across all the participants if we redeem, pay them off early. Of that, just under $300,000 of that savings would be specific to Des Moines Water Works and the customers that we directly serve. So not an immaterial amount. We're talking some pretty good numbers here. The interest savings on the 2012A, of course, those had a much smaller balance, you might recall. The interest savings there is about $14,000. So nothing really to write home about, but it is an interest savings nonetheless. And perhaps, you know, just as important, especially now as regionalization discussions have been ongoing, those production assets that we talk so much about during regionalization would be released for potential transfer to the regional entity really as soon as 2023. We need to pay off the SRF loan at the end of 2022. And then those assets would be, for lack of a better word, unencumbered, and they would be available for transfer. So, they may even be eligible for transfer prior to that. If we talk to the SRF officials, they have previously indicated in regionalization discussions that there could be some flexibility in that. I haven't counted on that in this presentation just because I think it's pretty close anyway. I think we would be hard pressed to be ready for asset transfer prior to 2023 as it stands. So the path forward, again, if Urbandale, I'll check with Dale tomorrow to see how his board discussion went. If he and his board wish to redeem, then I think that we are on a path for full redemption, paying off the bonds. However, both Spear Financial and Bond Counsel, Eric Bollert with Allers is who we use, have stated, you know, you've gotten informal responses from the participants. Nothing has been communicated formally. We still recommend you proceed with the public hearing at the end of September, just in case something happens. If you decide to redeem, no harm, no foul, you will just not proceed with the action that was taken in the public hearing. There's nothing wrong with that. And so they're saying, you know, go ahead and proceed with the public hearing for the refunding on September 28th. From September through October, then I will work with the other participants to collect those formal resolutions from them, stating we do wish to redeem. So we have something very official and in writing. And then at our October board meeting, this board would want to pass a resolution to redeem both the 2012A and the 2012B series for the water revenue bonds. Right after we have that resolution, then I would work with Spear and our bond counsel to initiate the process of notifying the bondholders that we wish to redeem them early. There's a 30-day notice required for that, so that would be well within that 30-day notice. And I would be asking for the money from the participants by November 19th. I want to make sure we have that money in hand and that there wouldn't be any cash flow issues from the participants. So we would be asking for the cash in hand a little bit early. And then on December 1st, an exciting day, we would pay off both bond series. And then next year, we would pay off, of course, the SRF, and we'll be debt-free unless we take on more debt next year. So with that, I'll open it up for questions for the revenue bonds discussion.
Amy, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
If I can remember what they were. The first one was, what if Urbandale doesn't have, say they didn't have the cash to pay theirs off? So there's one. Does that mean that, would that influence our decision, or does it need to be unanimous to pay it all off?
It doesn't need to be unanimous, but we can't compel them to pay off. So if they didn't have the cash, which I don't believe is the case, but theoretically, if they did not have the cash, we would be looking at a refunding. And as long as we're going to the effort of refunding and the cost, you know, I guess then at that point, we would have to make a decision. Do we want to refund, or would we like to redeem our own portion as well? We could do either. But there is a cost to refunding. So I'm really hopeful, frankly, that Urbandale comes back and says they wish to redeem.
And then on the 2021A bonds, the smaller one, what did you say that's connected with?
That was to construct the MAFID ASR well. And it was also a refinance of the 2004 bonds.
So you said it makes sense to pay that one. Why does it make sense? It looks fairly low in the interest rate. Is it transaction costs or what?
Why? You know, we weren't looking at refunding that. And
or I'm sorry, redeeming.
Oh, so we are recommending that we redeem those.
Right.
And the reason for that is just so that we can have those assets be available for potential transfer.
Okay.
Earlier than the maturity date.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Sue, I saw you had your hand up too.
Yeah, Amy, the November 19th date when everyone would have to have the money, is it clear to everyone that you have talked to that that would be the date when they would have to have the cash available?
Not yet. We would want to make sure that we give that information to them prior to their resolutions. But we have shared that with their financial advisor, which is Matt Stoffel. And so he is aware of that. but we still have some communicating to do. Really, once I know what for certain what path we're on, then we really need to make sure that we button things up with the participants and we're all walking the same path. Yeah.
Okay, I have not heard back from Joel, so I will just step in if it's all right and say thank you, Amy, for bringing this forward. And if we don't have any additional questions, I'd like to kind of get a consensus from the other board members if we are in agreement that the path forward that has been outlined is what we all agree with.
See Graham. You see, looks like Joel is on now. There's Joel.
Okay.
This is Andrea. I believe the path forward makes sense. And don't have any other questions at this time.
I also agree with the path forward and have been really pleased with all the explanation Amy and her team and others have given us throughout this process. So thank you, Amy.
My pleasure. All right, do you want me to plot on?
Please. Okay. And Joel, you can take over. I was just stepping in there for a moment till you were on.
Sure, thank you. Sorry for my delay.
The next topic on the agenda is the 2022 water rates. And, I want to kind of set this up. I am not going to get into detailed proposed rates at this meeting. That we'll save that for October. We're still going through our budget process and tweaking some things and finalizing and polishing up. But I did want to have more of a conceptual discussion here at this finance and audit so that we could correct our course if anybody has concerns with what we are planning. So again, this is a pretty high level and it's been a while since we've talked about this. So again, to frame this up, I'm sure all of you will remember this, but beginning in 2017, we hired Raftellis Financial to evaluate our cost of service model. We felt like it needed to be updated. We wanted to make sure it was aligned with modern cost allocation principles. And so Raftellis took some time to evaluate our cost of service, and they concluded that we, in fact, were not recovering the cost to serve, especially the purchased capacity class, wholesale class of customers. And there were two reasons for this that they summarized. There, were probably several, but the two most significant reasons for the fact that we were not recovering from the purchase capacity class. In the past, we have, for good intents, really taken the approach of across the board rate increases. And we did that because it's easier from a customer perspective and it's easier from a messaging perspective. So again, we had good motivations in doing that. However, when we say every class is increasing 5%, regardless of the cost behavior, it starts to misalign the costs and the recovery of those costs from one customer class to another. It really, that approach fails to recognize that some costs increase quicker or slower than other classes. The second reason really had to do with the rate of return that we included in our cost of service model. The wholesale water service master agreement that the purchase capacity customers fall under states that the purchase capacity customers, because they paid up front and they're investing in Des Moines Water Works infrastructure up front, would not have to pay a rate of return, which is typical in cost calculations. They would not have to pay that rate of return on the capital that they invested. When Raftellis reviewed our cost of service, they said, you know what, you are actually not charging that rate of return on far more asset base than you should be. You're giving them too big of a credit. And so they corrected that in the model that we work with today. And so that rate of return cost component initially was eliminated on all capital, not just the capital that was invested in by the purchase capacity customers. We corrected that, and that makes the costs for that class a little bit higher. Raftellis recommended that Des Moines Water Works revise the wholesale rates to include a fixed charge based on each wholesale customer's maximum day per 1,000 gallons, and then plus a volume charge, which we do already. And in previous years' discussions, we've actually talked about this for, I don't know, 2 years, maybe 3 years. The board, my recollection is that the board has generally stated support for this, but the timing was never great. The board wanted to really delay the implementation of that rate structure to allow regionalization discussions to progress or finalize, which we are close. We've certainly made a lot of progress, but we still are not at the end of that road. So the 2021 budget results, again, this is last year. We're in the process of updating this particular graphic for the 2022 budget that is underway. But this is what it looked like at this time last year. The total purchase capacity class here is under recovering by about 13%. So we have purchase capacity customers listed here. We've got their calculated cost of service, what would be allocated cost for each of them, and then what the revenue would be at the rates that we implemented, and it's at 87%. So better than the year before when we talked about this. We did make some progress, but you can see one of the concerns that we talked about as staff and board is we have some wholesale customers who are actually under recovering by quite a bit. Altoona and West Des Moines Water Works stick out. And then other wholesale customers that are over recovering. And those, there are four of them, as you can see here, that are over 100% recovery. And those are some wholesale customers that don't have high maximum days. They don't have a high peak to average ratio. So they don't peak as much as the others. They aren't placing as high of a demand on our system. And also down here, the wholesale with storage, which is mostly Johnston, we have a little bit of very minor consumption here with a couple West Des Moines meters and another customer, Thorpe Water Development Company. But let's look at Johnston. They're also over recovering by quite a bit, 122%. So the board was interested in how can we fix this? At the very least, we need to get the class closer to 100%. Again, we didn't really have the appetite last year due to regionalization status to implement the new rate structure. And so what we did last year was say, okay, let's work towards getting the purchase capacity as a class closer to 100%. And so we raised their rates last year 15% across the board for all of those purchase capacity customers. We ended up with a volume rate of $2.68 per 1,000 gallons. And then we have a monthly availability that's based on size. Most of the wholesale customers pay $75 for that availability. The with storage rate, we recognize they're already over collecting. So we really increased that nominally 3%, which resulted in a $4.57 per 1,000 gallons. And then also the same $75 is the most common meter fee. So this is what we did last year. After my recollection of last year's rate discussions was we heard from some of the customers like West Des Moines Water Works, Urbandale Water Utility, who were concerned about the move to this different rate structure with the higher fixed fee. And after the rate increases took effect, we heard from all four of the customers who were already overpaying and said, why are we getting a 15% increase just like the people who are paying only 65% of their share? And so in each case, we met with all four of them And, you know, we explained what the process was, but we said, you know, we're going to be talking about this again for the next rate cycle, which is now. And so that's really what I wanted to talk with you about. And that is to kind of circle back to Raftellis's recommendations. They are recommending that we implement a higher fixed monthly availability that's based on max day for each of those purchase capacity and with storage wholesale customers to recover fixed capital costs. And then we keep the volume charge, but the volume charge would really only be collecting operational and maintenance costs, those that act more variably. Because what's happening, let's say Altoona as an example and a reminder, they don't, as a general rule, purchase from us. But we still incur the cost to maintain and have that infrastructure ready for them to use. When they don't buy anything and our entire rate structure is steeped in a volume rate, we're not recovering anything from Altoona. And that seems inequitable overall to the class. So that was the basis for the Raftellis recommendations. So what I guess, interested in, I believe that we need to move to Raftellis's recommendations this year as we look at our rates and implement their recommendations. So what that would look like, this is an illustration, and I don't want to get too caught up in the numbers, but I did want to lay it out just to make sure that everyone understands what we're talking about. If we assume consumption for a customer, let's say that their maximum day for the last 5 years on average is 3.5 million gallons. That's going to be important because that's going to drive their fixed fee. And then in a month's consumption, I'm just using an example monthly billing amount, they used 60 million gallons. If we were to calculate a monthly bill for this customer using today's rates, they would have the $75 fixed meter availability, which really just covers the cost of the meter. And the rate is $2.68 per 1,000 gallons. So we would take 60,000 times $2.68. And their volume charge would then be $160,800. So their total bill is right around there, $160,875. If we use the Raftellis recommended approach, and I want to be very clear, the numbers, the rates that I've included in here are just for illustration. I'm not saying that these are what we're proposing. I just had to throw numbers on a slide. The fixed charge, let's assume, is $180 per max day, 1,000 gallons. And the volume rate would be $225 per 1,000 gallons, let's assume. So to calculate the bill under the new method or what Raftellis recommends, let's start with the fixed fee. We would take the $3,500, which is the max day in 1,000 gallons, times 180 assumed rate. So the annual fee would be $630,000. If we break that down into a monthly fee, we're talking about $52,500 in a monthly fixed availability. We would still have a volume charge. 60,000 gallons, and again, 225 per 1,000 gallons. So we take the 60,000 times 225, and our volume charge would then be 135,000. So the total monthly bill would be $187,500. So the fixed fee would be a lot higher under the new approach than we currently have. And again, it's because when we load all costs into the volume charge, when participants or wholesale customers don't use anything or very much, they're really not paying their fair share of those capital costs. So when I think about implementing this change, you know, one of the questions I ask myself is, what is the business case for implementing this change? The rate structure recommended by Raftellis recognizes, as I just mentioned, that costs to maintain the capital assets are incurred regardless if the customer purchases water or not. It better aligns revenues and costs, which of course is what we're bound to do. That's what we're here to do. And it also addresses that intra-class equity within the purchase capacity class. I will caution that we won't get to 100% participant to participant or customer to customer. The only way we would get to everyone paying 100% is individual rates. And we don't feel the wholesale master agreement supports that. So this model provides more equity, but it doesn't provide 100%. The master agreement, I lifted this language out as well, just to make you aware of you know, what's behind us in terms of contract language. The section that talks about water rates, it says the water rates to be charged by Des Moines Water Works to the participants shall be set in Des Moines Water Works' sole judgment based on costs and other customary factors, and shall be set so as to prevent service to participants from being subsidized by other consumers and service to other consumers from being subsidized by participants. So staff feels, and more importantly, our legal counsel feels, that is a pretty solid position for us, and it is defensible for our position. Prior to Raftellis's recommendations or our changes, and even today, we do have some subsidization happening because not everyone is paying their way. It also mentions Des Moines Water Works' judgment, as long as it's reasonably reached, shall be final as to the establishment of water rates. No rate increase shall be effective unless Des Moines Water Works has given 180 days notice. That's a really important, and our current budget process sets that up. It cuts it pretty close. And so assuming that we move to this and their support by this board for this approach, I'm recommending, typically we make water rates effective April 1st, which is kind of an odd time frame, frankly. It's just been our tradition. I would be recommending that we make a little bit more room there between passing the rates and notice to the customers and implement the rates effective July 1. It gives more notice, it gives them more time to plan. And most of our customers, especially those that are governed by city councils, their fiscal year runs from July 1 to June 30. So it just seems to fit a little bit more tightly with the normal fiscal calendar. So that's what I would be recommending next month when I come back with the actual rates.
Sue, I think that that slide that we just moved off of is the answer to your question in the chat.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
We do believe you're correct. We heard from a couple of wholesale customers that they didn't believe that the wholesale master agreement allowed us to implement this fixed fee, but we've reviewed that pretty carefully with council, and we believe that we do have the latitude as long as the fixed fee per unit or per 1,000 gallons of max day demand is the same for everyone, which it is. We believe that we have the latitude to do this.
And Ted, to that point, when I look at this section 17, I think there's a couple of critical portions, subsidized portion, I think we've talked about that, but I'm thinking about the customary factors language there. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but maybe remind and reassure me, this methodology is something that's customary, is that right? Or Amy, perhaps you could speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Raftellis is one of the leaders helping, you know, write the M1 manual, which is the AWWA resource for cost allocations. And so that's the whole reason we hired them, was to make sure that we are following customary practices. And so this is customary, yes.
And I would offer likely more customary than what we did historically.
Is it recommended by any association or body or anything like that? And maybe you don't know off the top of your head, but might be good information to have in our pocket as we move forward.
I think the M1 manual, which is our industry resource, certainly addresses it. So I feel confident.
And to ensure that everyone knows what the M1 manual is, the American Water Works Association publishes a whole series of manuals of practice, you know, M1 through M50 or so. Water rates is number one. It's M1. And this is, you know, this proposal is structured per one of the options in M1.
Great.
The other thing I would add is that, you know, as we've talked about regionalization, this approach is so customary, in fact, Joel, that it was recommended by yet another group, FCS, and how we would approach our regional rates. So it's very aligned, closely aligned with how those have been modeled as well.
Sounds like we're on solid footing. Thank you.
Yes. So the path forward on this initiative, we are still here in finance, finalizing the budgets and revenue projections, and we're doing that currently in our preliminary calculations based on these recommendations. So unless, you know, we hear opposition this afternoon, we'll continue down that road. This is always the time that we take the tour to visit with our total service customers. All of our total service contracts talk about Des Moines Water Works sets their rates for their service areas, since we have full operational authority of their system. However, those contracts have language that says we will take into account their comments and remarks. And so it's really just a great communication opportunity to talk with all of our total service customers about the rates, about their costs in general. And so we talk with them, of course, throughout the year, but this is a tradition. So we'll be going on a tour, I guess, of our total service customers to talk about rates. October 12th is our October Finance and Audit Committee. So we will present the 2022 proposed budget and also the rates at that time. So much more detail next month. At October 26th, we'll be presenting the rates to the board for approval and for consideration. And at that same board meeting on October 26th, we set the date of the public hearing for the budget. The rates don't require a public hearing, but the budget does. We like to have the rates approved prior to the public hearing, just in case there's something that comes up and you wish us to reevaluate something. So we put a month gap in there between the rate approval and the public hearing for the budget. In November, at the end of November at our board meeting, so November 23rd, we'll conduct the public hearing for the 2022 budget and hopefully approve that budget, which begins then January 1st. And that's it, unless there are other questions.
I have a couple questions, Amy. One question I have is about your recommendation that we implement in July. And I understand your rationale, but I wonder if maybe we implemented in April because it's a shoulder month rather than a peak usage month. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but would that have an impact? I mean, you always really hate for rate increases to be a complete surprise to people when they get their bills.
Right. I see what you're saying. So even more, really for all of our customer classes, if people are irrigating as an example, the higher rates would take effect. You know, I'm interested in just making sure that the wholesale customers have notice.
Right.
I'm really sensitive with that 180 day notice, and it is cutting it very close. Thinking that there could be some legal challenges that have already been signaled, frankly, from West Des Moines Water Works. Again, I just want to make sure we have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed. So, mm-hmm. that is really the motive for that date. You know, we could implement, if we thought it would be helpful, we could implement the wholesale in July and the retail in April still. I'd eventually want to bring those in sync. You know, we don't want to run two processes.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I know that we give notice, but people don't pay a lot of attention to this. They do pay attention to their bills when they come. And even though you've given notice, they're often surprised when they
get their bill. Nobody likes a rate increase, right? I mean, it's human.
Right. So anyway, I was just thinking about that. The other question that I have is that how does this, what impact would regionalization have on this going to a fixed rate and an increase? I mean, I assume that we'll still go ahead and do it, given that we're having the recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I hope to get from all of you today is, you know, any concerns or if you want us, you know, to not consider that. I feel like it's time. You know, we've given regionalization time to run the course. We are getting mm-hmm. close. And, you know, depending on the timing of regionalization, I don't know how long these rates would be in effect if regionalization were to occur. You know, we move to a regional model. But again, this model is pretty closely aligned with the regional approach as well. So mm-hmm. It would be a less severe change going from this approach to regional than what we have to regional. And I still continue to be very concerned. I think we owe it to the customers, the wholesale customers who are already over recovering, you know, to try to provide a more equitable rate approach.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think if we regionalize that, one of the things we've done the last couple of years is really focus on who's paying what for what kind of service, and nobody wants to subsidize anybody else. So I can't imagine that that's going to change with regionalization.
Right. I feel like there's probably never a great time to make a change like this. It's going to be, a hard change no matter what. I guess just, is there support by the board in proceeding with our revenue projections based on this recommendation, or would you like us to stay with our current rate structure?
Amy, I think this is what our regional customers are looking for from us. We have told them it's coming. It should come as no surprise. We do want to level it out and try to make it more equitable for those that are paying too much. And, you know, I think about Altoona, we just can't continue to have a model of someone who's not purchasing water. And we've been very clear on that for 2 years. But the other point that I think is another supportive way of looking at this is if they want to be at the table and determine what the rates are, that's called regionalization. Yeah, so I'm fully supportive of this. And I really like the July 1st. I've never understood the April date.
I'm supportive as well, Amy. I think we have a duty to ensure we're not subsidizing intra-class. So I'm supportive.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Well, we will move ahead with this model then, Amy. I think to just kind of close this out, we'll move ahead with revenue projections and preparing a budget recommendation and rate recommendations based on this model.
We will.
We've got a number of steps to take, and an additional discussion can happen along the way, but that will be our path.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Well, I think, Amy, unless you have anything else, we'll move on to item three, CEO comments.
Joel, I just have one item that I would like to share today, and that's just a quick update on the vaccine mandates that have been coming out of DC and what the potential impact on Des Moines Waterworks is from the various paths that have been identified there. And really, right now we're watching three different initiatives there. The first is one that relates to federal employees and their and federal contractors. And there's some potential there that that may implicate Des Moines Waterworks, but it's not clear. We know that we are considered a federal contractor, at least in terms of equal employment law and requirements, because we provide water to the federal courthouse here in Des Moines and possibly other federal facilities. And so we've asked that question before, are we really a federal contractor? And the question has been answered in the affirmative. Interestingly enough, in the little bit that I've seen on this particular question, the implementation of that particular mandate says that when contracts are renewed with federal contractors, that the contract will include provisions for ensuring vaccination. We don't have a contract with the federal government to provide water. It's, you know, it's the same sort of understanding we have with every customer as opposed to an out and out contract. So there's a little bit of confusion there. I'm not sure that that one is going to impact Des Moines Waterworks directly. There's another initiative related to employers who employ more than 100 employees and requiring either a proof of vaccination or regular testing. It appears that that may be directed more at the private sector, but there's some question about whether it's everyone other than the federal government or whether it's truly just private sector. And so I think there's more understanding needed there. And there's also a third path here where OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, has been directed to develop emergency rules related to workplace safety in light of COVID. And we certainly fall under OSHA requirements. The state of Iowa has an approved OSHA program that they administer. So there's some connectivity that will have to happen there between what federal OSHA decides and how the state of Iowa implements that. It seems that we would certainly fall under any requirements issued by OSHA, but there are already discussions about legal challenges to these mandates and questions about the testing and whether it will be provided or not. So the bottom line is that we're monitoring all of these initiatives and trying to understand which of them, if any, will directly impact Des Moines Waterworks. A lot of questions already from the staff. I met with the union this morning. They're, of course, interested to know. What I've shared with them is basically that we will follow the rules. If there is a mandate or an initiative that implicates Des Moines Waterworks, we will follow the rules. And we have not been successful in finding a workable testing arrangement where we would bring testing on site. So I don't anticipate at this point that there would be any kind of on-site testing for employees who chose to be tested regularly. So a lot of balls up in the air. I've talked to Rick about this already a couple of times, and I know that they are working hard for us to try to understand how we will be implicated. I attended a webinar yesterday where they basically told us they didn't know yet what any of this meant. That's kind of where we are right now, is we're watching it, but when we do understand what the implications are, we will certainly follow the rules.
Ed, can I just add to that? Because we've been tracking it as a healthcare organization, and there, I I think the easiest way to explain it is the two groups that will be writing the rules around these. One is the Department of Health and Human Services, basically CMS, for how healthcare organizations will be implementing that. The other one for the 100 plus employees will be OSHA writing the rules for how that will be implemented. So until those rules come out, which one is set to come out the end of September, the other one more like end of October, no one will be able to know because the rule's not written. That's what we've been told, if that helps bring clarity.
So that kind of answers my question, Sue. There hasn't been a deadline on implementing any of these rules yet.
You are correct, because no one has written, the rules are not written.
Yeah, and even beyond that, what we've heard is that there will be 60, 90 or more days to implement them even after the rules are finalized. So it's a ways out, but it's really too early to know how the rules will impact or affect Des Moines Waterworks.
The only thing that I'll add is I talked, and maybe this was shared with other people, but I talked to Mayor County and they did a survey of city employees, and their number was slightly higher than ours. About 72% of city employees were vaccinated. So a slightly higher number than he or I expected from a city standpoint. But we discussed their process of evaluating going forward, and they're in a very similar spot to us. But we'll continue to, Ted and with the city manager and with this mayor, we'll continue to kind of coordinate our response with theirs.
Ted, as you and I discussed, it seems unclear who would pay for testing. Is that right? Or maybe you've found out more since we've talked.
I have not found out any more, Joel, and haven't seen enough detail in the rules yet to know if the rules are going to mandate one way or the other, that the employer pay or that the employer not pay, or whether the rules will give flexibility there.
I did see a story that the Biden administration is working on a proposal where free testing might be available at pharmacies around the country, but that's, like everything else, is a work in progress, I believe.
That would make some sense, Graham, if they're going to be mandating a lot of testing to try to coordinate that. But as with most of this, it sort of remains to be seen.
Well, Ted, do you have anything else before we move on to public comment?
I do not, Joel. Thank you.
Right. Is there any public comment? I don't see any unfamiliar names, but any public is welcome to speak up if I'm missing them. Seeing none. Ted, what will be our process here? Are we moving into a special meeting on this line first and then?
Well, I think...
should we adjourn the committee? I guess I'll...
Yeah, we can adjourn the committee.
Take a motion to adjourn the Finance and Audit Committee.
Second.
All right. Is that a motion from Sue?
A motion or second, whatever you need there. Yes, to adjourn.
All right. I think we are adjourned.
All right. So, I think if you want me to go ahead and start, Ted. I don't think, Michelle, yeah, we don't need to start another tape or anything, do we?
No, I don't think so.
It might be easier for me if I can just stop the recording real quick and then start again.
Go right ahead.
Thanks. Hang tight. Appreciate it.
And then, Graham, I think.